Hi, welcome to the latest episode of the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. I'm Wayne, I'm your host, guiding you through Christmas facts, feelings and history every 2 weeks, all year round, and we do it in alphabetical order. Each episode looks at anything to do with Christmas that starts with one single letter of the alphabet. Today we're on to episode P of the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. Today we have a plethora of P's, including pantomimes, the Polar Express, poinsettias and the Puritans, with a peppering of panettone, the Paradise Tree, Pelt's Nickel, the Pickwick Papers, pub carols and plum puddings, plus some other particulars and maybe some other P for podcasts. And I'm really glad I got my P filter on my microphone today. And it's all here on the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. Today we're on the letter P. Let's dive straight in with P for pantomimes. Oh yes it is. Oh no it isn't. Oh yes it is. Because pantomimes are an essential part of Christmas in Britain. And they're about as British as you can get. If you don't know what a pantomime is, well, where do I start? A pantomime is a stage show based on a traditional fairy tale. Things like Cinderella, Aladdin, Snow White or Jack and the Beanstalk, with lots of songs and jokes and slapstick comedy. Panto, as it's called, is for children, except it's also for adults. And the scripts often contain lots of rude double entendres and satirical references to current affairs to entertain the adults as well. An essential part of a panto is cross-dressing. The hero or principal boy is always played by a young woman, and the dame, an ugly older female character, is played by a male comedian. Professional pantos feature well-known comic actors or people familiar from soaps or popular culture, although amateur companies often put on their own versions of pantos as well. Audiences expect the same ritual scenes and word plays from their pantos. There's always a physical comedy routine and lots of audience involvement. The words, "He's behind you," will usually appear, and the inevitable, "Oh no he isn't," "Oh yes he is," or some variant on it, will always be there in your panto as well. Pantomime developed in Britain from the Italian Commedia dell'arte and the Harlequin plays that came out of that tradition that came to Britain. Pantos have been going for 300 years, with the first one dating from 1717. Pantomime's not quite as widespread or as popular in the 21st century as it used to be, but it's still very much part of the British Christmas season. So P is for pantomime. P is for the Polar Express. The Polar Express started out as a book by Chris Van Allsburg, which came out in 1985. It's the story of a magic train which takes a boy to the North Pole on Christmas Eve. The book is full of wonder and atmosphere, captured in its illustrations by the author. At the centre of the story, the boy is offered a gift by Santa and chooses a bell from one of his reindeer. The bell becomes the symbol of the Christmas spirit for all who believe in it. In 1988, an animated short film was made of the book, narrated by Mandy Patinkin. But the world was really waiting for the movie masterpiece that came later, with the Polar Express computer animated feature film of 2004, directed by Robert Zemeckis of Back to the Future fame. The animation stars Tom Hanks as the train conductor and as the voice of several other characters, including Santa Claus. Hanks himself developed the concept for the film, and he wanted it to be a live-action movie. But in the end, it was made with motion capture acting transferred into CGI animation. So the actors are recognisably themselves, and yet animated. It's a bit of a breakthrough in the use of CGI, and it means that the film adaptation keeps that atmospheric mood of a picture book, but also some really human acting. Combine that with some gorgeous music and songs and strong performances from the cast, and it's got to be up there with one of the best Christmas films of all time. What do you think? P is for The Polar Express. P is also for podcasts. And here's another podcast in the Christmas Podcast Network.
It's Christmas!
Hello, this is Adam from Merry Britsmas. I am a Christmas fanatic from the UK who thinks that the world needs to know more about the traditions, telly and music that helps make a British Christmas really festive. I look at everything from mince pies to Boxing Day to Wham to Slade to the Royal Family to Doctor Who. If you want to find out more about a British Christmas, or you are British and want a hit of nostalgia, check me out at Merry Britsmas.
And happy blooming Christmas to you and all.
Thanks to all our friends on the Christmas Podcast Network. You're listening to the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. Today in our P episode, P is for poinsettias. The poinsettia has become the essential flowering plant of Christmas in the last maybe 20 years here in Britain, though its history goes back far beyond that. These days the shops are full of them every Christmas season, and the Royal Horticultural Society, who are top dogs in gardening over here, say that poinsettias now have taken charge as the top Christmas plant, and that's part of a massive growth in their popularity all over the world. It's all to do with their colour, the bright reds and greens, and that they're easy to look after, for the season at least. The red parts of the plants are actually not flowers, by the way. They're a special kind of developed leaf called a bract. The poinsettia is named after a Mr. Poinsett. He was Joel Roberts Poinsett, the first United States minister to Mexico. Joel Poinsett was a doctor, a member of the House of Representatives for a while, a unionist leader, and a slave owner. He travelled extensively across France and Italy and Russia and Chile and Argentina, meeting the rich and powerful and doing business deals. He was a signatory on the Treaty of Limits that established the US-Mexican border in 1828. And then, south of Mexico City, he came across a plant that the Mexicans called Flor de Nochebuena, the Christmas Eve flower. And Poinsett gathered some of these plants and sent samples of the plant to the US, where it became known as the poinsettia. Wild poinsettias had been known in Mexico for centuries, and had been cultivated for many generations. The Aztecs used them for medicine, but please don't try to use them medicinally yourself. Although the leaves are not technically poisonous, they can give you a really bad tummy. But these days, efficient marketing has turned the poinsettia into the Christmas symbol it's become today. That started when one family business who'd invested heavily in the plants sent free samples to television stations to decorate their studios. And the people behind them even appeared on Bob Hope's Christmas special to tell stories about this Christmas plant. All sorts of legends are now associated with the poinsettia, and it's impossible to know which are true and which are marketing campaigns. There's a story that in 16th century Mexico, a girl called Pepita had nothing to give to Jesus for his birthday, but when she put a posy of weeds in front of the church altar, they turned into a poinsettia. So we're told from the 17th century, Franciscan friars in Mexico included them in their Christmas decorations and venerated the star-shaped leaves as the Star of Bethlehem and the deep red colour as the blood of Christ. But legends and history and good old commercial marketing have all got mixed up together, really, to promote this Christmas Eve flower, or, as we call it, the poinsettia. P is for poinsettia, a modern addition to our Christmas nature table. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. Today is our P episode. And we have one more P before we look at a few didn't quite make it entries, and then a song to finish. I'm Wayne, your host. And P is for the Puritans. The Puritans, it said, in 17th century Britain and in the United States, put a stop to Christmas. But is it the truth? The series of civil wars in England, Scotland and Ireland in the mid-17th century brought down the king and replaced the monarchy with the Commonwealth under Oliver Cromwell from 1653. The new government in England was influenced by Puritans, strict Protestant Christians who wanted to rid the country of Catholic worship and anything that dishonoured God through immoral or frivolous activities. Cromwell's government started passing laws that prevented anyone holding or attending Christmas services. Shops and markets were told to stay open for Christmas, and families and households were told not to celebrate Christmas, which was seen as the focus of popish and worldly activities. One official document said people had turned the Christmas feast, pretending the memory of Christ, it said, into an extreme forgetfulness of him, by giving liberty to carnal and sensual delights. In truth, though, those laws were ignored more than they were obeyed. All people rose up against them. Christmas riots broke out, objecting to the government taking away people's pleasures. And many families simply made Christmas a private affair. And then as soon as the monarchy was restored in 1660, Christmas was restored as well. The long-term effect of the Puritan assault on Christmas was perhaps to make the celebrations more domestic and family-focused. Though not yet all about children, that didn't happen until Victorian times. In New England, the influence of the Puritans on Christmas was less dramatic in some ways, but perhaps longer lasting as well. From the first Plymouth Pilgrims in 1620, Puritan communities in the New World saw Christmas as just another working day. Laws were passed suppressing Christmas, but they started being repealed from 1680, but Puritan communities continued to have no regard for Christmas. As late as 1870, that's not that long ago, only 150 years ago, schools were still holding classes in Boston on Christmas Day. It was the aftermath of the American Civil War, more than 200 years after the Civil War in Britain, that saw Puritan hostility to Christmas somewhat relax, and finally Christmas was recognised as a national holiday. So P is for the Puritans, who in Britain and the US have left their mark on the way we do Christmas today. Today we're looking at the letter P on the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. We're going through all things Christmas, starting with the letter P. And now it's time to have a quick catalogue of those P's that didn't quite make it into our main alphabet. P is for pub carols. Tradition that's still going on in Yorkshire of singing Christmas carols in British pubs. These carols tend to be very regional and distinctive and sung with great vigour. P is for plum puddings, We looked at the Christmas pudding in F for Christmas food, so I won't dwell on it here, except to say again that the British Christmas dinner is incomplete without the Christmas pudding, which used to be known as the plum pudding, though it actually never contained what we call plums today. P is for plum pudding, and equally tasty, P is for panettone, an Italian Christmas sweet bread or cake made with yeast and currants that has its origins in Milan and is now popular everywhere. P is for the Paradise Tree, the centrepiece of the Paradise Play of medieval England, part of the Adam and Eve story in the mystery play traditions. Some people think that this was the origins of the Christmas tree and of the German pyramid decorations. P is for the Paradise Tree. P is for Plugain. Plugain, spelt P-L-Y-G-A-I-N, it's a Welsh word, is a Christmas carol service in Wales that traditionally takes place on Christmas morning, but not at midnight, rather at 3 o'clock in the morning. The Welsh tradition was to spend Christmas Eve night decorating your house and celebrating the day arriving. And then, after that, late at night, early in the morning, really, you'd go to church and sing about the birth and the death of Jesus. The tradition has mostly disappeared these days, but one or two places are still maintaining it. P is for Plugain. P is for Pelchnickel, literally Furry Nicholas, one of those traditional helpers of St. Nicholas, related to Belsnickel and Knecht Ruprecht, and part of the traditions of South Germany and the Pennsylvania Dutch communities. P is also for Pie Cantiones. This is a collection of Latin songs, a book that was published in Finland way back in 1582. Why it matters in the history of our Christmas is that a copy of that book was given to John Mason Neal in England in 1853, and he plundered it for old songs that he could turn into Christmas carols. And they became Good King Wenceslas and Good Christian Men Rejoice and In Dulce Jubilo and Gaudete and Unto Us the Boy is Born and others. Never has one ancient book been so productive in our Christmas repertoire. P is for Pie Cantiones. Look it up, you can read the whole thing online. And P is for another influential book. P is for The Pickwick Papers by Charles Dickens. Before Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol and his other Christmas stories, he wrote Pickwick Papers, a novel, but one that was published in serial form in a magazine. And the episode for Christmas 1836 sets the scene for Christmas Carol, and for all that we think about Dickens and Christmas. Samuel Pickwick and his friends spend Christmas at Dingley Dell, where they play games and dance and kiss under the mistletoe and enjoy all sorts of things we now consider to be the proper English country Christmas. It really is worth a read, the whole book, but certainly that Christmas episode of the Pickwick Papers. P is for Pickle, the Christmas pickle, part of the tradition of some American families to hide a pickle ornament on their Christmas tree. This is a German-American idea, but actually one not known in Germany until it spread there from the US. It's not something we ever do in Britain. And we find it confusing over here, because what Americans call a pickle, people in Britain call a gherkin. Pickle is a more general word over here. And it took me a long time to realise that the Christmas pickle wasn't a pickled onion. P is for the Christmas pickle. And P is for Louis Prang, the father of the American Christmas card, a 19th century Massachusetts printer who learned how to design and print Christmas cards. First of all for exporting to England, and then for selling in the States. And he created the most collectible cards ever made. And P, finally on this list, is for Plough Sunday and Plough Monday. Plough Monday is, in the English tradition, the first Monday after Epiphany and the start of the agricultural year, the day farmers go back to work after the Christmas period. To mark the day, they would be dressing up and dancing. And the previous day, Plough Sunday, usually the Sunday after Epiphany, would be a day to pray for the farmers and their land. And that idea has been revived in recent years. So P is for Plough Sunday and Plough Monday. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast, and we're looking today at all things beginning with the letter P. As we usually do, we're finishing with a Christmas song. Now, there's a few songs I could have gone with today. Earlier in the alphabet, I've already mentioned the folk song Patapan that was the inspiration for Little Drummer Boy. And I've already mentioned David Bowie's Peace on Earth that he sang in a duet with Bing Crosby's Little Drummer Boy. There's an old carol I was reminded of that I used to sing with my school choir called Past 3 o'clock. Strange little carol, but quite pretty. But we're not going to spend time on that. There's a few commercial songs that have been minor hits, things like Please Come Home for Christmas, which was a hit for the Eagles in 1978, and Bon Jovi in the early 90s. And I also quite like the song Peppermint Winter, released by Adam Young of Owl City in 2010. But the song I'm going for today is P for Pretty Paper. Pretty Paper is not well known in Britain, perhaps not that well known in the States, but it's a nice song. It was written by Willie Nelson, but first recorded by Roy Orbison in 1963. This is a bit of Roy Orbison's version.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling. Pretty pencils to write I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue.
Orbison's version reached number 10 in the US and number 6 in the UK charts the following year, 1964. And by 1964, Willie Nelson had made his own version of the song, which actually I prefer. And Nelson's version sounds like this.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils. Right, I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue.
You'll find Pretty Paper in one of those versions on lots of those compilation CDs. And there's dozens of cover versions by Dolly Parton, the Lumineers, and many others. Willie Nelson was inspired to write Pretty Paper after seeing a man selling paper and ribbons and pencils in the street in Fort Worth, Texas. The man, who was called Frankie Brierton, was affected by a disorder to his spine which had caused his legs to atrophy, and he got around not in a wheelchair but by crawling and using rollers. Through the Christmas season, he would set up on the roadside selling his festive stationery, calling out, "Pretty paper, pretty paper," and that refrain inspired the song. Christmas wrapping paper was invented in 1917 in Kansas City, when the Hall brothers ran out of coloured tissue paper and started producing their own printed paper at 10 cents a sheet. The gift wrap paper became wildly popular, and was developed alongside the brothers' other main product, which was greeting cards. The Hall brothers later changed their business name to Hallmark. These days, a lot of people see using pretty paper at Christmas as rather wasteful, especially as most of it can't be recycled. And there's a new trend for reusable gift bags. Perhaps we need a new version of the song, Pretty Gift Bags. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it. P is for today's song, Pretty Paper. And this is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne, and we're coming to the end of our episode for the letter P. All the music on this podcast is in the public domain or used for review purposes. Please do subscribe to the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. It costs you nothing just to click that subscribe button and tell your friends all about us. Word of mouth really helps. Follow us on social media at Christmas Alphabet Podcast on Facebook or at Christmas Alpha on Twitter, Christmas Alphabet on Instagram. We're not yet on TikTok or anything, but maybe sometime. Please leave us a review on Facebook or on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast app you use. That would be really helpful. Let me tell you again about our website, christmasalphabet.com, and you can also send me a note on Facebook or on email. You can use the address wayne@christmasalphabet.com. So I'll be back in your feed here in 2 weeks' time with Christmas objects starting with the letter Q. Well, among our Qs, we'll have the British Essential, the Queen's Speech, and the Syrian governor Quirinius, who's mentioned in the Bible. And we'll have a look at the rise of the Christmas quiz. But to be honest, we are a bit short of Qs. So if you want to suggest some Christmas Qs, please do let me know. Thanks for being with us. Do subscribe, do spread the word, and may the joy of Christmas be with you all year round.